the title of this is Things I Learned from Noach, or Shiva Zatzal. So that title is a bit presumptuous. More accurate thing would be to say things I aspire to learn from him. Things I could see myself learning from him, right? But if I would say things I aspire to learn from him, no one would have come. That's not an interesting title. Things You Learn is a good title, okay? So, you know, there's a good opportunity for me with the first time I gave this year to be able to think a little bit, like, what, you know, to focus. What did I really learn from Noach? And in a certain way, I have a certain perspective. I've been in yeshiva for 12 years. Noach was nifter 5 years ago, the fifth year at site. So 7 years of my life I spent around him. And on the one hand, I was part of Hanhala's yeshiva. I was part of the administration of the yeshiva for a lot of that time, so I dealt with him decently closely. But I wasn't a student. I didn't come up through the system of Eishet Hara, which obviously in a certain way you learn less like that, but you also be able to have an ability to learn more like that because you focus on the person from a different perspective, if that's fair to say. So let's begin, okay? I'd like to say that every yeshiva has its own lexicon. Every yeshiva has its own lexicon, its own words which are special to that yeshiva. Right, one yeshiva, the words are hasmada, working very hard in learning, staying up late. Those are our words, lamdis. Another yeshiva might be bekiyas, derech eretz. Another yeshiva might be musr. Eishet Torah has its own lexicon also. We have our own lexicon. We have our own special words here. And obviously most of that lexicon was written, of course, by Rav Noach. Now, a word that it's probably the only yeshiva in the world which has this word in its lexicon is what I want to focus on as our first point. That is outrage. Outrage. It's not such a popular word, huh? Think of outrage, you think it's something you want to move away from. Think about your dad being angry one time, right? I don't want to think about outrage. They both said, what does outrage mean? It means kanoim, zealots, are outraged. Right? What is the idea of a kanoi in the Torah? A lot of times we use the word kanoi, we use it in a negative concept. He's a kanoi. He's a kanoi. You can discount him. Hothead. Huh? He's a hothead. You know who's a kanoi? You know who's a kanoi? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Har Sinai, and he sees the Am Chogigim, sees them dancing with their Avodah Zarah, Rachmana Litzlan, by some of Farshim learn, and he takes the Luchos, takes the tablets, and he destroys them. Now, what does this mean to destroy the tablets? What does it mean to destroy the Luchos? You have to understand, what were the Luchos? The Luchos, well, listen, they were rocks, Evan. He breaks an Evan. Bosai, it was the base of Mikdash, in a sense, Kodesh Kedashim. Michta Velokimi. It was the written word of God. Men b'samach b'neis ha'yomdim. The men in the samach stood b'neis. They stood with, it was a wondrous thing. You look from this way, you read the paper, what do you see? You see this and you see that. No, the luchos, whichever side you looked at them, you looked the same way. The Yerushalmi says the whole Torah, the whole written Torah, the whole oral Torah was all somehow written into the luchos themselves. The whole oral Torah, b'neis ha'yomdim. You take that, you take the Beis HaMikdash, and you destroy it. I want to give a smaller machshel just to understand, right? I'm upset at what's going on in Eishet Hara. I go and I say, you know what, we're not fit, we're not right to have that Aron, right? I take a sledgehammer, and I go over to the Aron, and I start banging away, right? Even though there's no Sefer Torah there, I'm banging away, I'm outraged! This can't be! What's going on? I start banging away, destroying it. Do Bista Meshugana! You're crazy, you can't do that! Both sides, someone did it. You know who it was? Moshe Rabbeinu, Yashakal Shibarta. And God didn't tell him to do it. He knew on his own to do such a thing. That is an outraged individual. You got it? That was such a part of Noach. There was an outrage in him. What's outrage mean? This can't be. What did Moshe Rabbeinu say? This can't be. The Luchos, Klai Yisrael, this can't be. Why not put it back upstairs? I don't know. But this can't be. It's a good Shiloh. This can't be. It can't be. This is Rav Noach's whole existence. You're not doing anything to stay road. They're shooting missiles into Jewish town and you sit b'shalva? You're not doing anything for Gilad Shalit? There's a Jewish boy who's stuck in Chevy? There's a Jewish boy who's stuck with a bunch of, you know, five Arabs around him all day and who knows how he's living and it doesn't move you? This can't be. What's going on with Iran? Do you know what's going to be? This can't be. He said to Shimi Kaufman, who was one of his last Talmidim, that, you know, I'm sitting on a truth. I'm sitting on it, and I have to keep it down, because if I would tell people how much I really feel, they would all run away from me. And a lot of people ran away from him, because he was outraged, he was upset, he was moved. Okay, so this is a very fundamental thing. I'll give an example, another example of his outrage in a minute. But I want to figure, like, why does this word, This whole concept of kanos and zealousness, why does it run against us so much? So I want to give three reasons which I think we can grow from. And that's really the point of my talk here. We don't just have a stam hes, but things that we can learn from and try to aspire to in ourselves. So one thing is the hashpos hagoyim, the influence of the nations of the world. We live in a highly tolerant world, very humanitarian world, right? A very democratic world. These are the ideals that we have all grown up with, and we drink it in with our mother's milk. We drink these values in. The fathers of the country, Jefferson, even sounds nice, just rolls up the lips. Adams, Jefferson, Washington, Lincoln, Emancipation Proclamation. Is that a beautiful word? The Emancipation Proclamation, liberty for all, right? And I'm not saying it's all bad, right? As opposed to whatever else the world was involved for hundreds of years. But anything that's not Al-Pi Torah in a straight way, you have to understand, of course, there are many, many, many parts of which are negative and not correct and not Lefi Torah. Many things in Torah are very not democratic. Now, what are you going to do when a fellowship guy says to you, what's Sanhedrin about? It's about the judges educating. Oh, that's interesting. But is that what it's all about? What's Eilon Nisrafin about? I saw these words. These are the ones get burned. What's that about? How about Eilon Nechnokim? These are the ones that get nechnak. These are the ones that get choked. Well, why do you get choked? Is this like a safety thing? It means don't eat fish with bones? What are the rabbis telling us over here? What are you going to answer? Well, you know, the world's both sides. Mises spaced in. Lashes. Well, I had that the other day. I was saying, please don't ask me what Malkos is. How do you spell what Malkos is? Lashes. Let's go to the next source. Kedushin. Marriage. Matrimony. Love. That's good. You know? That's not... So I'm talking to myself. Find in yourself. I also understand. Americans. How do Americans look in Russia? Ooh, Russia. That's a nation of... That's a wicked nation. You know, that's a communism. Right? France. They lose military battles. America. Their light, says the Chazal, is our darkness. Their light is our darkness. Okay? So the more we're under the hashpah, we're never going to be outraged about Ruchani things because we're under this hashpah that everything's okay. And the world goes more and more. We all feel that now. I hope everybody with a little bit of Yerushalayim, a little bit of care for Enoshut should see that. You know? You can't talk to people about the... You're radical and you're crazy. You talk about the values of a normal two-parent family with a husband and a wife. Only have 1.6 children and a dog. Good, but at least have one man, one woman in matrimony, you know, married to each other with fidelity, having 1.6 children. Beautiful. Halavai, that's how the world worked today, you know? Okay, so that's number one. Number two. We have a lack of clarity. Our minds aren't sharp and honed. And it's true. When you're blurred and mixed up, you can't really be outrageous. You should hold yourself back. Maybe you'll be outrageous about the wrong things. What am I going to be outrageous about? I don't see things clearly, so how could I be outraged? Right? So we have a lack of intellectual clarity. Number three is very important. Our emotional world. Outrage is an emotion. It's a healthy emotion in the right place. But it's very emotional world. Our emotional world is very small and getting smaller. Yeah, and a lot of that, I just want to say, is the problem of media today makes us emotional midgets. Because there's no way, my Rebbe used to say, there's no way you can take in everything you're reading about what's going on and really care about it. It's impossible. You know, there's these floods over here, and these people got stuck on Mount Everest. And there was a gunman in America, and this rhino fell into waterhole 241 in Tanzania. How could you? You can't hold with all that. Elawad, everything becomes superficial. I want to say deeper, you don't know what relationships are anymore. You know, this is a problem in seminaries. I don't want to say which one, but one of the top seminaries, the teachers are bemoaning to my wife, the girls don't know how to have relationships anymore. They don't know what it is to just talk to their roommates because they're on their iPhone. And we're talking about a Frum seminary, they're not looking at whatever. Girls would look at it, right? But they're just emailing the whole time. This, they don't know what it is to relate to each other anymore. So emotional. But you say, you know what? No, but I get really emotional. Whenever anybody offends me, I'm really emotional about it. That's a small emotional world. That's just you with your feelings. There's bigger emotions. The Jewish people, my yeshiva, my shir, the other people in a room, right? So we're emotional midgets today. And I'm talking to myself also. I don't mean you. We're talking about the general problem. So those are three points. A person wants to aspire to have a zealousness of holiness and all that could drive a person to. Like the person we're talking about today, so you have to develop those things, not be mushpa from the world so much, to work on my intellectual clarity about things and develop a rich emotional world. Okay, I want to give one beautiful dugma of this word and where he used this word specifically. I know they played last night, Out of the Ashes, in the yeshiva. That was a movie about the trip that a bunch of 55 or 60 Yeshiva rabbis together with a Rashiva Shlita that were in the camps together with Noach. And someone asked Noach along the way, you know, what do you think? What are you feeling? Feeling mercy, sadness, depression, hope. What word he said? Outrage. I feel outrage. Now, what do you feel outrage about? Those Nazis. How could they do such a thing? Right? You know what his outrage was? This is phenomenal. He felt outrageous that they, for something so bad, worked in such a machine-like way, such an organized way, such an unbelievable way. It was unbelievable how the Nazis worked. He got a whole nation behind them. Okay, the nation was looking for such a thing. They had unbelievable organization. They knew how much gas and how many trains to send over here. Do you know what kind of collaboration, what type of organization it took to pull off the Holocaust? Do you know what kind, type of agreement? You know what type of, excuse the word, achdus? The Hain Safa Achas, you know how much, you know what it took? And we can't get it together for Kavod Shemayim? And we can't get it together to save the Jewish people? That's what he felt outraged about. Isn't that amazing? That stam is amazing. Look at the intellectual clarity. You know, everybody else is just dealing with their feelings or whatever, and he's being outraged about the fact that we can't learn from the Nazis and do what they did. Okay? So I think this is a tremendous thing. I want to leave you with this section, this first thing to learn from him, and aspire to in him. Ask yourself this question: what am I outraged about, and what was he outraged about? When do I get outraged? That's how a person grows. The tension. Look at a great man and compare yourself to him. But really, tell you, what do I get outraged about? What does he get outraged about? And with that, maybe we could a little bit get to this kanos to kedusha, holiness of action, of burning passion to fix things. Yeah. Okay.
I understand why we're not canoeing, but why is it leaves a bad taste in my mouth? Why do I not like it?
Because I think that's the first one. I think because of the hashpos hagayim. Because it's not a canoistic world. Because you grow up so much hearing that everything's okay. You know what it's like in fellowships? I can't tell you what it's like in fellowships. The rabbis tell us, you can't talk about this, you can't do it. It wasn't like that 15 years ago. It wasn't that bad. You're not allowed to talk about a lot of things. You know, you just can't broach the topic. The rabbis tell us, like, you know, don't tell me. I don't know how to do it. They tell Mati Berger. They tell Gav. That's who they're telling us. Our best guns, don't talk to our students about these things, because you're going to blow it, and then we're going to damage control the whole trip. You know? I taught this class in discoveries here. Fellow says to me, how am I supposed to accept a religion which doesn't accept my parents' union? I was like, uh-oh. And I tried to, you know, did he mean not Jewish father? He didn't mean not Jewish father. You understand? What am I going to say to him now? So that's, yeah. Okay. Rabosai. Next point. Vision as opposed to reality. It's popular to say that Reb Noach was a visionary. Right? That's a common word. Reb Noach was a visionary. I say it myself. Now, I want to say what I think the difference, I think it's very important to us, a difference between, I think he was a realist and not a visionary. Let me explain. When I would say I'm a visionary, right? So I say it like this. I want to make the greatest shoe store in the world. Well, we're going to sell online, we're going to have lots of branches, we're going to have Uggs, we're going to have boots, we're going to have, you know, slippers and moccasins. It's going to be, you know, cool, great advertising. And I'm visioning the whole thing in my head. Who's going to be my partner? Maybe Avram will be one of my partners, right? Got Gesher guys, intermediate guys. It's going to be unbelievable, right? And I'm living with this vision. I'm seeing something in front of me, a future thing, and I work towards that future picture. I think the Reb Noach saw things now. He saw things now in a certain way, and he waited for the actual reality to catch up with him. Let me explain. You could see, listen clearly here, you could see a long-haired druggie and you'd say, oh, there's such potential for him. In 5 years, he could be unbelievable. Right? That's good. That's very positive, if you could see that. Reb Noach said, this is a genius. This is a Jewish heart. I have to expose it a little bit, But he's a genius. The Jewish people are geniuses. Not that right now they're geniuses. Right now they're amazing. Here I'm toys. This is one of the discs you can see. Geniuses. The Jewish people is unbelievable right now. You know the difference? We all know how he convinced Reb Lezi Yehuda Finkel, the Rosh Yeshiva of Mir, where he was learning at the time, about his whole mitzvah. When he originally spoke to Reb Lezi Yehuda Finkel about the fact that he wanted to open a yeshiva for Bali Tshuva or a movement, I don't know exactly what the question was. So Reb Lezi Yehuda, a very, very great man, said he didn't get it at first. He said, what do you mean? They're going to come in like this and come out with black and white pants? What do you mean exactly? What, it's like a factory? Factory line? What are you talking about? So he says, Rosh Yeshiva. And I said this mashal well before, one second. How many unmarried people do we have here? Okay, you guys, the last group had more guys who were waiting for Shidduchim. Okay, so it was better. But I'm going to do one of you guys also. So I say like this, you know, me and a few Mekubalim, right, we called down the Ruach of the Rosh Yeshiva on his yortzeit in a mutter way, and we cooked up six girls are waiting outside for you. They're there, right? You're going to walk out of this class at 11 o'clock in 35 minutes, take them to Burgerim or Bagels Bar or Burger Place or Bisharecha, whichever one of the fine restaurants in the old city. You're going to sit down with her and talk, have a schmooze. Tuesday, you're going to go out and get it. Thursday, you're all getting engaged. I'm telling you, because she's your Basher. Here's your Arus. Now, let's say you believe that and you bought it. You will walk out of here flying. There she is. Unbelievable. My Arusa. Huh? So the Torah says like this. It says, Torah Tzivalona Moshe Marosha Kilas Yaakov. The Torah commanded Moshe, Morasha, it's an inheritance for the Jewish people. Says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, I think Memches, Atikri Morasha, Ella Morasa, an Arusa, a bride, a betrothed. The Torah to the Jewish people is a betrothed person. And Rav Noach said, Rashiva, if I introduce people to their betrothed person, if I introduce them to their Arusa, to their Kala, they're not going to be excited. They're not going to be excited. You hear that? It means he's saying, not that I'm going to convince them, not that I'm going to make them. I'm exposing them right now to their betrothed person, right now. So they're not going to be excited about it. Come on. He said, Noach, if you believe that, you'll be matzlich. If you think like that, you'll be matzlich. Now I just ask you, when you sit opposite a fellowships person, right, do you think like, I'm introducing him to, this is natural to him. This is him. Right? Who thinks like that? That's how he thought. I'll give some other examples. Project Inspired, right? We think he had a vision. One day he's going to get 5,000 Balabatim learning, doing Kiruv. And he's going to work towards that vision. No, he thinks they shall be doing Kiruv now, in 1973, 1974. And he's going to be able to convince them when? Now. And they'll start when? Tomorrow, today. Because the problem is real, the Chiv is real, the potential of these Balabatim is real. So get going. Right, it's just going to take time for the practical reality to catch up with him. I think the same thing about the building over here. He didn't know, I don't think exactly from what I hear, it's not like that exact vision, this is what we're going to do with the vision. But he sees, right here, this is a spot for Kiddush Hashem. This is a spot for Kavod Shemayim, for the honor of God. This is a spot where the Jewish people is, we have to build an unbelievable building here. And we'll work out exactly what we're going to do with it. Right, that's a very, very different look than being a visionary. Seeing the reality now. Now, applying this to ourselves is super important. I don't consider myself a visionary. I hope that's not hard on you guys. That was a joke, right? I don't consider myself a visionary, right? But to see a reality in a deeper way, to see a reality in a more real way than I do right now, to see Jewish hearts filled with love right now, to see on Shabbos in Am Kaddish, to see a world of the Borei Olam right now. Where's the Eibishter? He's up there. He's here. Now. Real, to see things. Urei b'tuv Yerushalayim, to see the good of Yerushalayim. To see that I'm in a hard situation, things are kavaldik. You get it? We can all look at reality in a deeper way and it will speak to us in a whole different way. And it will move us. We all work according to our understandings. When we see negativity, we see tzimtzum, when we see darkness, so then we live in a dark world. When we see, not just I vision, I can envision a better world. The world's kavaldik right now. It's tuvah sabari. You know how much chesed the Rebbeinu Shel Olam did today? Do you know how much your chakras move things? Do you know how much hashpah you have when you poured your right hand over your left hand by Netilas Yadayim? Do you know what you did? Do you know what you did when you had Kavan and Kriya Shema of Mesiras Nefesh? Do you know how much tikkun there was then? Do you know who you're sitting next to in yeshiva? Do you know what kind of day it is? Do you know what Shabbos was yesterday? Do you know what Tu B'Shvat is on Thursday? It's an unbelievable world. It's an unbelievable reality. So we have to learn to see reality in a different way. And that's going to move us and we'll be able to get to whole different things. Okay, point number three. not giving up. Many of us, most of us, I think everybody here, myself, for sure myself also, when we saw the Rosh Yeshiva, we saw Noach, we saw a very, very successful person. 30 branches, tens of thousands of Bali Tshuva, right? Noach was a historic person. Is that what historic means? Does anybody have plans to be historic? Right? I just make sure I don't make history in a bad way. You know? Am I going to be historic? What's historic mean? Concepts he brought into the Jewish people. 40 years ago, the concept of Bali Tshuva was not a concept. It happens from time to time. But it wasn't a musag. There's no yeshiva in the world today which doesn't have Bali Tshuva or sons of Bali Tshuva in it. Not one. Go to their yeshiva. Tens, hundreds of Bali Tshuva, right? The concept of having a yeshiva in Bali Tshuva was all new. These are all new. These are all chidushim that he was at least the only person doing it, the forefront of these things, these changes. Yaakov Weinberg, his brother, said, my brother created the concept of Bali Tshuva as a concept. You understand how different Klal Yisrael is because of that concept? Huh? So we see a person, you know, Yonatan Rosenblum, Jonathan Rosenblum, the famous Haredi writer, writes his best book is going to be Reb Noach's book. I know when it's finally going to come out. But he thinks this is going to be the best book. So we're talking about a best book author. This is a rich story, right? So we say, hey, he was successful. And he was always successful. I know myself, when I look at my Rebbeim, I look at like highly successful people. They're brilliant. They're very, very learned. They went through Shas. They have a lot of Talmidim, a lot of following. The together people, good marriages, you know? So our examples are all successful people. Now, what's the danger of that? Danger of that is when we are faltering and unsuccessful, we feel we have no place in Beis Hashem. This is not for me, because they were always successful. Noach was always successful. So I want to tell you a secret. It's not a secret. Rav Noach failed again and again. How many organizations did he make until he got to Eishet Torah?
Four.
How many yeshivas did he make until he came to Eishet, until he made Eishet Torah? Five or six. Ask from Gil, he can tell you the name. Shema Yisrael, you heard that one? And Mivatseret, and Yeshiva Mivatseret, right? Or Sameach, Shema Yisrael. All these places, he made them, we don't know the names. And he failed. You understand what it is? When you make a yeshiva and you close it down, it closed down. You know what I mean? You don't make another one. People don't make other yeshivas. Not like, right? He didn't make it just to spread yeshivas. There is no Shema. You ever hear of the yeshiva Shema Yisrael? No, it doesn't exist anymore. It stopped. It failed. And he got up and he failed. And he made it again. And he made one organization. It wasn't the right way. His original plan was not this. The original plan was Project Inspired. You know that? That was plan one. Why was that plan one? Because Reb Noach's goal wasn't to make a bunch of Bali Tshuva. Reb Noach's goal was to affect and stop intermarriage and stop assimilation for the whole Jewish people. And he knew that 200, 300 crazies are not going to do the job. Also, you don't need one person on campus. You don't need one couple on campus. You need 10 couples on campus. The best Makarim can have a relationship with 10, with 40, 50 people, maybe. The best, working like dogs. You're not going to really be Makarim anybody unless you have real relationships with them. You need 20 people on a campus. How's it going to work? 300 Kiruv workers, 1,000 Kiruv workers. We're scratching the surface. So he knew that he had to make a mitzvah for the whole Jewish people. And that was his original plan. That didn't work. He couldn't convince the people. So he tried plan B. I have to make my students. And now, finally the world's waking up to his reality of Project Inspire, of getting the whole Jewish people involved in here. But that was the plan. That was the plan. So what do I show you though? But he moved from plan to plan. This didn't work. Try something else. Huh? Now I want to tell you an interesting historical shot and where this came from. It's not a cute story that his... Reb Noach's father had three wives, one after the other. He wasn't an Arab, right? He didn't work in the kitchen. He married one woman. They had a child named, who knows? Yosef Hillel. Who's named after that child? Arashiva. Shlita is named after that child. That woman died. He had another child. I think the Arashiva himself, Shlita, told me the story. He had another wife. What happened to her? She died. Okay. He picked up his hands. Take a break. Yosef Hillel gets older. His name is Yitzchak Matasyahu. This is Yitzchak Matasyahu Weinberg. He gets older. Yosef Hillel has reached Shidduchim age. I don't know how old that was then. And he interviewed a potential candidate for his son. Along the way, he says, you know what? She'd be good for me. She went out. He went out with her, and he married her. Yeah. By the way, now, who came out of that union? Who came out of that union? You know who? Reb Noach Weinberg, Arush Shiva. All of his illustrious brothers and sisters and sons-in-law, huh? Yaakov Weinberg, Well, so Yaakov Weinberg was one of the great Rosh Yeshivas in America. A brilliant Talmud Chacham. He was a Rudiman son-in-law. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of Neri Yisrael, one of the major yeshivas in America. You know, his daughter? Maybe you heard of her son, Shimshon Pinkus. Rebbetzin Pinkus was another daughter. Was the daughter, right? Well, who was she? She was the only American girl, I think the only one who went to learn at Sarah Schneer's seminary in Krakow. And her father sent his 14, this whole story on its own, we have time for it. His father sent his 14, 15-year-old daughter to go to Krakow to learn from the great Sarah Schneer, and that she would be one of the people who transplanted and brought Beis Yaakov to the American shores, and which she did. And she had a son like Shimshon Pinkus. Do you understand? So from that, from him, his pushing forward and not stopping, and you know, Nachamo. Pam Shlishi Zachalo, we say by Elias, you know? Ershtemo, Svetemo, Drinmo. Zachalo. It worked out. Baruch Hashem got married, had a beautiful family, the family that lit up the world. So, because he kept trying. So maybe that's a little bit where it came from in Reb Noach. He looked at his father's example. That's the historical guess. And it's a nice story. But either way, that's for sure, Rebosa. That's such an important reality. I'm talking to myself, you know, because when we... I want to read you a little bit of a letter from Rav Hutner. No time to go through the whole thing. It's 128. If anybody wants me, I'll make copies of this. You can shoot it with your phones. This is an unbelievable letter. I'm going to read it. It's so important. Hafachba, hafachba de kulaba. Every Torah student, right, is mechuyev to read this letter 10 times. That's a psalm. Okay? 128 in Rabbi Hutner's letters. Ahobi chavivi, my beloved. Just to see his language. Okay, we're going to miss some of it because of English. We don't have time to read every part and translate. It's a sickness, a terrible sickness by us. That when we talk about the sides of completion of our great men, we all we talk about is their last Sikkum Acharon. Rav Eliashiv learned 18 hours a day, every single day. When he was 100, he could learn Motzei Yom Kippur for 8 hours in a row. That's Rav Eliashiv. Right? We talk about their ways of greatness, that we jump over the inner battles that went on in their souls. It sounds like we talk about them as if they came out exactly like this, just like the world, Sheishis Mei Breishis, here was the world, created, that's why it looks old, right? Here they were. Everybody speaks about and is amazed and puts on a banner the Taras HaLashon, the cleansing of speech of the Baal Chavetz Chaim. Who knows? Here, I'm going to read Hebrew. Kol milchamas, hamavokim, hamichsholim, hanafilas, hanasigos lachor, shematzah hachavetz chaim. Baderech milchamas shelo. Listen to this. All the battles, the skirmishes, the stumbling blocks, the falling, the retreats that he found in his way. That's one mashal. And an intelligent person like you should know to judge from this, from that example on all other gedolim also. And what happens, since we don't talk about that, and we don't know about that, and we don't know about all in the fields, so when we ourselves feel that we're not up there, we're out. We're not shasal b'beis Hashem. We're not planted in God's house. And we think, what does it mean to sit in God's house? To sit in the peace of our Yetzer Tov with the water going by. Little yoga. Just like the tzaddikim, sit in Gan Eden in peace. Let me be mechadish, another chiddush. Let me think where my Yetzer Hara is taking me today. My Yetzer Tov is taking me today. Let me think what mitzvahs I can do. Let me feel God's love. Dolcha Chavivi! Your neshama was not for the peace of the good inclination, but for the battle of the Yetzer Hara and your beautiful letter. Which obviously this young student of his had written about all of his trials and tribulations and difficulties in Avodas Hashem and falling and lackings of Avodas Hashem, tells me like 100 witnesses, you are a true battler in the armies of the Yetzer Tov. In English we say, lose a battle and win the war. For sure you are nichshal, you are falling, and you will be nichshal again, my friend. But I'm sure that after all of the battles, you will come out from the war with the crown of victory on your head and the fresh prey, mefarper, wriggling between your teeth. Lose battle, but win war. Hachochmi kol lemamer. Sheva yipol tzadik become. 7 times will the tzadik fall and he will stand up. That's a pasuk. Hatipshim! The foolish ones think that it says means to say, even though he fell, he still stands up. Shevi yipol tzadik v'kam. The pure person will fall and even so will stand. Right? Abel hachachamim, the wise person, know that the true kavanah is that because of the fall, because of the seven falls, that's why he's come. Shevi yipol tzadik v'kam, because of seven falls, that's why the tzadik can come in the end. V'yara kol asher asa v'nei tov mod. And God saw everything he created and it was very good. Tov ze yetzer tov. Tov is the yetzer tov. Tov ma'od ze yetzer hara. Bahubi! My beloved, I draw you to my heart and I whisper in your ears. If your letter was talking about all the mitzvahs and the ma'isim tovim that you did, I would say that I got a good letter. But now that your letter tells me about your yiridus and nefilus and mechshon, tell me about the difficulties you have, I say to you, I received a great letter. Your embattled soul pushing to be a great person, I ask you, don't image for yourself that the Gedolim and their Yetzer Tov are as one thing. This is what you should put for yourself. They are involved in a battle. Milchama shel milchama nora. If all their yitzarim and the nefilas and their low parts, that's who the Gedolim are. When you imagine the Chafetz Chaim, imagine him with an M16 on his feet, crawling under things, shooting people and getting some shrapnel in the side of his body and moving on. That's my interpretation. And when you feel the tsar of the yitzar, no, right now you're more similar to the Gedolim than when you feel the Menuchas HaShabbat, when you feel Shalashudas and you're singing, ah, now you're not like the Chavetz Chaim. When you feel on Friday you're angry a little bit at your wife and you control yourself and you wonder yourself, how can I feel bad at my wife after all she did for me? How can I even think such a thing? How could I have said one thing to make her feel bad? I am a nothing. That's when you're similar to the Chavetz Chaim. Where the deepest falls are, that's where you will bring out the most covetous. And Lahosev Ben Ligura. You see a great man here, both sides. But this is what we all have to know. If you don't know that about yourself, everybody has nefilas. So what do you think? Me and Imani. And our problem, like I said, is because we only have dugma'o. We only have examples of successful people, right? At least part what people see. So we have to. So I'm telling you, Noam is such a person. He had a lot of nefilas, things I can't talk about also. A lot of difficulties in his life. Noam didn't have people thought he was meshugna, people thought he was crazy, had other difficulties. And he pushed on. Right, and it wasn't just the way I said it, that for 10 years he had a hard 10 years and then Eshtar came and it all, now he was sitting on Meimenuchas. He had money problems, he had to fire people, had to redo this, redo that. He had tough, things were tough. It wasn't easy, running around eating out of a tin tuna fish out of his house 7-8 months a year. But and people think you're crazy all the while. You want to be embraced by the Jewish community. Now he's embraced by the Jewish community. He wasn't embraced. And it's like maybe at the end he was embraced. People thought he was Meshuggah. He spoke at the Gula convention. Someone else sent people to cackle him. What's it called? That was called cackle him. Heckle. You know what that is? He's standing at the Gula convention. Finally, someone heckles you. And he was sent. They were sent to heckle some tip shim. Very nice. Here's my day in the sun. Get heckled there. That happened. Okay. Both sides, next point, okay? 17 more minutes, let's go. What can be accomplished from thinking big and out of the box? Okay, next point. What can be accomplished? We're very careful, cautious. We don't want to make mistakes, even cynical and boring. The last two especially, those are the ones especially me. Cynical and boring, right? But Noach taught you to think big. Not according to your kofas. Let's take a simple example. Now think about it. Like I said, mentioned before, you have to know this. Noach didn't want a yeshiva. He didn't want to make a few bali tshuva. He wanted to make a movement, right? And a movement was just a way to get to his eventual goal of, really it was about bringing Mashiach, but along the way we had to stop assimilation. Again, he wanted to make a movement. Now, most people look at it when they say, I want to go into Kiruv. So what do you say? I'm going to try my best. I'm going to try my best. Call matzal nefesh achas. Anybody who saves one soul is if he saved the whole world. And I don't think we should be mezalzel in that. And I'm not mezalzel in that. I don't look lightly at those things. But now think about it. When you think bigger, I want to make a movement. Do you understand how many more people you can affect? How, if you're successful and if you get there, you're going to touch the world in a whole different way. I'm going to make a movement in the Jewish people of Kiruv. We're not going to touch, not just me and my little efforts to affect. How many people do you think the best Makarv? How many people do you think the best guy could be make Shomer Shabbos? Let's say that's the goal in 1 year. 10, 15. If you're making 15 Shomer Shabbos in a year, you're unbelievable. 20. So now you're, let's say you're in the business 30, so you've infected 600 people. That's Givaldi, right? But Noach wanted to change the whole Jewish people. And in a certain way, it's Pasha what he's saying, right? Because if you're not more organized and not thinking on a big, when I say it like that, it sounds simple. We say like movement. Movement, like what's a, is there a mitzvah to make a movement? You know, what's that a movement? But a movement is a very pasha word. Everybody, and social change, of course everybody's talking about making a movement for this. What, when you want to get people to buy something silly, you want to make a movement in people's heads, right? Everybody knows that. If I open a shoe store and I want to make it big, Nike, is Nike silly? Was Steve Jobs silly? It's a movement. They want to get people thinking a certain way, and then we're going to affect, and everybody's going to feel that if they don't have an iPhone, and everybody's going to buy it. That's how people really make it. It's not a crazy way to think. But now, because so we're thinking small. We think to ourselves, am I going to come up with a big idea? I'm telling myself, anybody knows me, I'm a very realistic person, so I think this is a very shy thing for me to say. But I think myself, I'm going to come up with a big idea, you know? Now you look at the organization, the people he inspired, Discovery, right? Discovery going big time with that. That was an idea. Fellowships was an idea. Women's Renaissance Project. You know, women are coming to Israel. We're talking about an Israeli Women's Renaissance Project. You know how much they're affected by this? That was an idea. It's an idea which is 5-6 years old. It wasn't, it's not all found. Project Inspired, H.com. They're all ideas. Now imagine if Noach wouldn't have thought big and wouldn't have inspired other people to think big. All those ideas wouldn't be there. Look, think how much Hashpa, fellowships was an idea. I think it was Ephraim Shore's idea. Jewish Women's Renaissance Project is Lori Palatnik's idea. H.com, I don't know where it came from, right? Discovery. And I want to tell you a secret. There are other great ideas out there. There are other great ideas out there. You have to know how to find them. You have to know how to get them. You have to know how to work. Don't leave your day job and just looking for big ideas. But if you're thinking big and trying to find something, you might run into, right? I might run into the next great idea for the Jewish people, which could really change the Jewish people in a very, very significant way. But we're so cautious and cynical and careful and not wanting to make mistakes, right? I would say worried about our salary, but that's not so good today. Yeah, but that we don't want to try anything. We're small. I want to say that like this. Let's give one specific example. Children's chinuch, the chinuch of our children, right? So a lot of us started late, and right or wrong, we don't think we're necessarily going to make it as great Talmidei Chachamim. Today, that's what we think. We're not going to be great leaders. We're not going to be great Talmidei Chachamim. And we naturally listen well. We make that boundary on our children also. You know, I'm okay, so my kid will be okay. Now let's look at halacha. There's a halacha that you're not supposed to let your child use a non-Jewish wet nurse. Everybody understand that halacha? Right? You know what a wet nurse is? Back then, before Materna, so if a woman, for whatever reason, didn't have enough natural milk or she didn't like that, so she would have a wet nurse, someone who feeds your child the milk. Okay? You're not, it's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to have a non-Jewish woman doing that. Okay? Says the Bir Agra. What's the source of that? It says by Moshe Rabbeinu, HaPeh She'asa L'dar Mashchina, the mouth which is going to speak to the Shechina cannot take in milk from a non-Jewish source. Not that they're treif, not that they're bad, right? But for the level of holiness of Moshe, so we can't do that. So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, Bo Terah, but we're bringing halacha to every Jewish child. It's not. This is halacha, but it's not a drasha. This is not an art scroll introduction over here. This is halacha, psuka. And we're explaining that halacha. The Gaon is a real sefer. It's not a Hasidic Torah over here. Excuse me for saying like that. It's not a... What's the source? Why? Moshe Rabbeinu. This kid could be Moshe Rabbeinu. But I'm not Moshe Rabbeinu. But my kid could be Moshe Rabbeinu. Let him raise him for greatness. Let him be who he could be. Your kid could be unbelievable. Each one of you. Your kid could be the Gal Ador. Your kid could be a Talmud Chacham Shein Kedik Maso. Well, Lamalo. Does anybody know why not? But we have natural boundaries on ourselves, right? And the truth is, Noach would say, he says, it's a bad thing you're saying, right? Because, of course, they could also be like that. Right? I'm at least trying to work where maybe the boundaries we have on ourselves that we're too bought into our own boundaries. Okay, but at least our kids, but at least your kids. Okay? Next point. A few more points. Achrayus. Achrayut. Responsibility. What's responsibility? Rav Noach, everybody knows probably his Pshana Bishvili Nibra Olam. The world was created for me. So I'll tell you honestly, when I came to Eish HaTorah 12 years ago and I heard this Pshat, I thought this is not, you know. I learned a few words in my, you know, Pre-Eish HaTorah. So he said that Bishvili Nivra Olam means that the whole world, you're responsible for the whole world. I thought, come on, that's not what it means, right? Afterwards, I'll tell you, Rabosa, I found it in many places. The Ramazim to that, and definitely in Ramchal in a few places. I saw Nassim Bachvogel take something like that. Sam Sofer, I saw take something like that. You're responsible for the whole world. Okay, that's a tall order for me. I'm a small guy. So I want to talk about responsibility in a way which I could relate to it, which I think you could relate to also. Not, I forgot to say at the beginning, this is my take on the world. You understand? This is my take for me trying to learn things from Rav Noach. This is not necessarily the pure of Noach. Rav Noach, the Talmida, would be speaking Bishvili Nivrola. Okay, this is Schoolmaker, Bekatnuso, speaking in a real way for me. Yaakov Avinu leaves his father's house. Huh? What had happened? He just heard from the Ribbono Shalom that I am with you. Shmarticha b'chol asher telech. And I'm going to bring you back here, and I'm going to leave you back, and it's unbelievable. Be'isa Yaakov Raglov, Meshech Chochma says, La'eretz b'nei Kedem, he started the journey, he was going to Haran. After he heard the Havtacha, Be'isa Raglov, he's awakened himself, he's going to Eretz b'nei Kedem, he just doesn't know where he's going. He has the Havtacha, the Ribbono Shel Olam, he has Bitachon, Hashem's taking care of him. He comes to Haran, he sees shepherds, right, who would come in, they're supposed to finish their job at 5 o'clock, they finished at 4 o'clock. Now, what would you say? I'd say they're supposed to finish the job at 5 o'clock. They finish at 4 o'clock. Interesting. Able to schmooze a little bit. Someone have a cigarette? What did Yaakov say? Achai, lo esem e'asef e'mikna. It's not time to bring in the sheep. What are you doing? And then they explained to him, no, because we wait till call Adarm, and then that's where Yaakov, he saw Rachel coming, and he pushed away the bear. V'yigal evan me'al pi haber. Ma Yaakov osepo? Ma zinyan shecha? Well, so he saw a problem, he saw something that wasn't right, without being outraged, moving away from being outraged specifically, but he saw an issue and he tried to fix it. Is that what he did? It's not time to start working now. Imagine the same thing. We would see the Arabs. Okay, Arabs were used to them not working so hard. But okay, you see, so guys, how come all the restaurants, and you go up the street, you're going out, right? Shawarma bar, coffee bagel, they offer another few, you know, Burgerim, maybe something, maybe we'll use a unique name like Burgerim, or how about Burger Coffee Bagel? Maybe that, right? They're all sitting there at 4 o'clock. What's going on? How come you're not working? I'm running home. Yaakov cared. Now listen, again, I'm taking it my way. You see a problem, it's you. Rav Noach always taught, this is one of his major teaching, it's your issue. You see a problem, it's your issue. It's so easy to have the reaction of, one, sticking my head in the sand, two, not caring, three, complaining. That's a good one, right? Rav Noach said, it's your issue. It's your issue. Now I want to take this through a process. This is my filtering. Not all the time are we going to be able to deal with all the issues. You know, Rabbi Cooper Smith told me, he used to sit Rav Noach in the office, like whatever Noach would see in the paper, like that was, we got to do something about this. What's going on in Sudan? That's how he was. He really thought the whole world's issues were his. Rabbi Cooper Smith would say that sometimes, Rashiva, Noach, like there's no one behind this. You know, this, it's just you and me here. You know, there's no army. There's no chayalim. We don't have tanks. We're not taking on Iran. We're not, because he wanted to, you understand, that's how he was. So he really felt every issue was his. So that's, I can't live with that. So I'm talking about what I can live with. But when you see a problem and you think to yourself, like, what can I do to help this issue? You're an elevated person. And now sometimes the decision might be, this is my issue. I gotta help. Sometimes the answer might be, I can't help. Sometimes it could be, I could do something small. But just going through that process, you're an elevated person, as opposed to be a person who lives in your old little $4 amas that doesn't care about the world. I care about the world. I see an issue, I want to help it. Now, again, there's a lot of things. This is where my practicality comes in. I have to learn also. I have a family. I have to prepare a share. So I can't deal with this issue now. But the fact that I went through the process in my head, do you understand how different you are as a person, the person who cares enough to go through a process in his head? And I want to add, a lot of times, you'll be able to do something small. There's a kid in your neighborhood who's off the derech. You say, Nebuch, my neighbor's probably having such a difficult time with their kid, right? Now, what am I going to do? I'll tell you, I'm not going to spend 3 hours. A kid who's in this situation like that needs someone to spend 3 hours with him. There's a lot of time during the day. You all feel busy, right? We're not into learning. There's a lot of time during the day, yeah? People need to play. They need a lot of recreation. They need a lot of fun. I don't have time to do that. I'm not going to sit with people for 2 hours a night. I got too much to do. I know. But when he exists by me, so you know what? Well, next time I go past him, I'm going to say, oh, it was so good to see you in shul. You know, Yashikach, Givaldi, how are you doing? Some people, not everybody's like my Rebbe in seventh grade who made me feel like a nothing. He likes me for who he is because he registered by me as an issue and I'm trying to do my little part. Maybe I won't bear any fruit, but maybe I will. Maybe because of that hello, That'll give him a little bit of koach, or the other word of chizik I have. He did a beautiful job gardening. What a great job. How do you know how to ride your bike like that? That's great. That process, you could save a kid's life because you cared enough to see a problem, an issue. You know, they say a story that someone came over to someone 30 years later. A chashi person came over to another person and said, you know what? You saved my life. Save your life? I don't remember you. He said, you don't remember? We were in Panovich or whatever yeshiva was together. I don't remember. He said, I was on the line. I gave up with yeshiva. I wasn't interested anymore. I had no relationships with anybody. I was off. And I was on the line Friday night to tell the yeshivas goodbye, good luck. And you came over and you fixed my collar. Yeah, I want to tell you this, you have to do it in the right way. You fix your collar just like because you're upset at the guy. Now, you fix my collar. And I saw somebody cares about me. Right? I gave me cough to continue. I continued. I stayed in yeshiva. And he's a Ben Torah today. Because of that little action. Because he cared enough to see someone. So we can't fix the whole world all the time. But dealing with the issues and going through the process and thinking what I can do, you're an elevated person, one. And you're going to be able to fix a lot of things along the way. And three, maybe you'll be the one who's really going to solve X or Y issue. Look, Chofetz Chaim Federation. There are people working on pedophilia today. Beautiful organizations. Because they care and they saw a problem in Klal Yisrael and they're working on it. They're driven. All these things are because somebody saw a problem and didn't just look the other way. Okay? Okay, last few points here, Rabbi Osai. An interesting point. I think 5 minutes more. On the one hand, Rav Noach was very extreme, and on the other hand, he was very pleasant. Right? Rav Noach was very, very strong about his opinions. Now, very. And very driven about them, and very into driving them into people. There was something, excuse the word, there was something mercenary-like about him. Right? This is a war. Take no prisoners. This is the way. We can change the world. Get some blood on your hands. I've heard that expression from him. Get some blood on your hands. Yeah, he was a tough person. You know, he would sit with Rav Yashuv and Rav Aaron Leib Steinman. He would like take them on in a certain way. See, we were saying like that. But he would like, why are we doing? What are we doing about this? If Nassim Tzvi Finkel would visit me, I would be the happiest person in the world. Yeah, Rav Noach said, what are we doing about Iran? I think that's what he said. Something like that, you know. Nassim Tzvi is there, you know, shaking away. Came to visit him when he was sick. So he's just enjoying Adam Gadol, you know. Sit back. Nassim Tzvi, good to see you. Have some tea, this, that. Rav Noach took him on. Nassim Tzvi, what do we do? Nassim Tzvi has $15 million on his head. He's a sick person. He himself is going to die in 5 years, you know. Rav Noach's taking him on. He was a driven person. Now, a lot of times when people are like that, is you don't really want to be around them. They're abrasive, inhuman, not nice. Huh? Can we have an image of such a person? This is my company. I'm going on this. Oh, we're going to do it. Noach wasn't like that. He was very human. He was very warm. He used to give these big bear hugs. It's Gavaldik. He has to tell me how to with those bears. Two hands, you know. Gesunte big bear hug he would give you. And you could, when you could distract him, you know, if you could distract him, it was very pleasant to be around him, right? He was always on time for others. Always ask Eric. When they would be going somewhere and he was driving, he would be early in the parking lot. You know, he's one of the busiest men in Klal Yisrael. This is Talmud that he made into a person who's 35 years younger than him. And he's waiting in the parking lot. He shouldn't come late for Eric Coopersmith. He was mechazik others. He cared about others. You get it? There's a dichotomy that existed by him, right? That I could be totally intense about something, and he was on his point, like I said, all the time. And some people ran away from it, truth be told, because of that. But at the same time, when you divert him a little bit, it was very pleasant, very nice, you know? I remember one time I took him to Yeshiva, we had a thing in Nova up north. I drove him, took him to the pool. Very nice. Went into the pool, went out of the pool. Very, 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 very nice, very pleasant person. He was Betzim, believe it or not, I told this to some people the other day, they couldn't believe it. He was an introverted person. He was introverted. He wasn't strutting his stuff all the time. You know, in that Nov Shabbaton. So, you know, so there are hundreds of people who wanted to hear his opinion. Rabbi Zeilin's college is coming to the yeshiva then. And there are other things. Big Shabbaton, hundreds of people there in Nov, right? And Noach, he hardly saw him. He spoke one time, shook up the olam a little bit, spoke again, you know, said some what's it called, controversial things. Everybody was talking about it. But what's he doing the whole time? He's sitting in his room. Jamie Callan's daughter, I think, was friends with Yehuda's daughter. So Yehuda's daughter, I think, was running into Rav Noach's room all the time. And another person's daughter's running in. So he asked, this is Jamie Callan's mother, tell me, the Rishu. So he asked his daughter, like, what's he doing? You know, what's Rav Noach doing? He's not coming out. He said he's sitting and learning Mishnah Lashon and eating fruit. I love that. You know, hundreds of people want to see you. Go speak, you know. What? He's sitting there learning the Seal of Shorm and eating fruit. That's what he did. That was his Shabbos, you know? He had a theatrical side for sure when he spoke, but he wasn't like that. Very pleasant, pusha person. Okay, another dichotomy. This is our last point, and we'll finish it off. He was on the one hand very, very negative about where things could go. He was very, very negative, both sides, right? The Reshiva Shlita is quoted a lot of times. Program or pogrom, right? I wouldn't speak like that. That's not, I don't mean it's wrong, Chas v'Shalom. I'm saying I don't have a, that's a negative thing to say. Program or pogrom, what are you saying? I don't want to say other things he said, but listen to the tapes. Rav Noach didn't see a pretty picture in front of him. And he was very open about the negative, where the world could get to. So someone like that, what do you expect him to be? Morose, depressed. But Rav Noach was full of life. He was joyous. He was hopeful. He was innocent. I remember this is one schmooze where he said something like, we may all go down, but we're going to go down fighting for God. You know, and he said it with like, I'm saying like, are you guys listening? He said, we might all go down. The whole world could be destroyed. Jewish people will be finished and all of you part of it, but we're going to go down fighting for God. He said this in this joyous way. I was like, what's going on over here? Right? So he was very negative, yet very hopeful. Mercenary-like, yet so humane. So human, so consumed about the future, yet so hopeful. This is a huge lesson. We like things to be simple, right? We like a simple world, a nice, simple world. Huh? If we achieve some clarity about some hashkafa or some mida, it's very hard for us to incorporate into ourselves the opposite type of hashkafa or mida. It's either this way or that way. Listen, you're either negative or you're positive. I could be a positive person, right? I could feel good about everything, read and lifting Svarim all day. I can't be negative. I could be negative. You want me to be positive also? I could be mercenary. Like I can fire everybody in the company, but I'm not going to be a nice guy afterwards. But we do that, we end up much smaller than we could have been, right? Much less alive, much duller. Who wants to be dull? Much less full of shlemus. You know, Yirmiyo saw the Chorban. Do you understand what it's like to be Jeremiah? Read it one time, the first few prokhim, 10 prokhim. He saw the Chorban coming. He saw the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. He saw the destruction of the Jewish people. It must not have been a fun thing to see, right? Makel shineni roeh makel shaked. He sees the almond tree. Vahineni shoked al ro lavioso. I'm bringing the Ra like an almond. I'm shoked on it. It's bad. The bad's coming. And he's seeing this again and again. And he's trying to tell the Jewish people and not listening. That was very unpleasant. But you know what else? You can't get nevuah unless you're besimcha. That's Allah. So somehow Yirmiyahu was besimcha and he got such nevuahs. Great men can live in two places at once, right? Rav Noach was big enough to hold on to all these opposite poles of behavior and outlook, and that's a tremendous lesson for us. We should all spend this day on his yard site trying to learn something from his ways and trying to improve ourselves. You can hear a lot of things. You know, we ourselves get a bunch of different ideas that I think we can grow from each and every one of them. And you can hear a lot of things. Make it real. You know, pick one or two things where you can get a little bit better over the day and change yourself. That's the way to look at Anam Gaon. When you look at Rav Yashiv's Nifter, you know, he was everything. There was nothing to feed. There was everything. Rav Noach was everything. What Mali Yivalehem. But if you break it down a little bit and say, like, he cared, I'm going to try to care a little bit more. He dealt with difficulties, I'm going to try to be a little bit bigger about my difficulties. He looked at reality in a deeper way, I'm going to also try to see people in a more real way. He had achrayas, I'm going to have achrayas. He was outraged, I'm going to try to be a little bit more bothered about things that I could do. When we live like that, we can take his example and continue his great heritage for ourselves, our children, and for the whole Jewish people. Thank you.